There's no particular theme uniting all of the songs that we're singing tonight, but the songs in the first half, which I'll be leading, have a particular focus on Christ. And I'll begin in a moment with a prayer, and then we'll read a scripture, and then we'll teach a new song, and then the rest of the songs that we'll sing in the first half should be at least somewhat known to you. Some of them will be very well known to you. So if you would bow with me. Righteous Father, we are so grateful for the time to be here this evening. We know that this is a busy season, and we're grateful for many of the things in this season. Time off for some, time with family, time to spend in leisure and in giving in some instances. But we know that our thoughts must always be on you, and we're grateful for this time in the middle of the week, which we've set aside to focus our thoughts specifically on you, and this week to sing songs of praises to you. We pray that everything we do here today will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. This song that we'll sing has some of those names in it. Wonderful, Merciful Savior. We'll sing the first verse a little bit slowly, and then we'll stop, and we'll sing the second verse a little bit more up to speed, and then into the chorus. It's verses 1 and 2 in the chorus, and then we'll sing verse 3, and we'll sing the chorus twice after that. Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Thank you.
song is Hosanna. And we'll sing the chorus another time around at the end of this song as well. So verse 1 in the chorus and verse 2 and then the chorus twice. That song, to me, always brings about the image of Jesus entering the gates of Jerusalem. And so the verses that I've chosen, interspersed with the next few songs, key in on that image as we think about Christ and who he was. Psalm 24, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Our next song is Shield About Me, which echoes that expression, the lifter of my head. Shield about me. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Our next song is In Christ Alone. At the end of the third verse, it indicates that there's a modulation. We're not going to do that. Matthew chapter 21, verses 6 through 9. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The next song is What the Lord Has Done in Me. It is a song that we've sung a couple of times here, but again, it may be one that is not quite as familiar. But since this is the last song we're singing in the first half of this, let's go ahead and stand as we sing this. We'll sing the first verse through twice, the first time with just the ladies singing, and the chorus we'll sing twice at the end after the third verse. No. Seated.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Magnify, oh, magnify.
Magnify, oh magnify.
Oh,
But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Now, this is another new song, but I think it's a very familiar tune, and so I think it'll be easy to catch on, and it's not fast. but it's a beautiful song that takes a familiar folk tune, really, and puts words to it of thanksgiving to God, along with the scriptures that we read. Recognize that tune? Some yeses? Okay. I think the words you might know are all through the night. It's kind of an old song. But.
Jesus.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's sing about our commitment to God, pure in heart. Thank you all for being here tonight. Hasn't it been good to worship our God in song? For those of you who are guests with us, every time we meet together, we want to make sure and remind ourselves and anyone here of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it says, the invitation that he offers. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and we'll read a few verses there. Book of 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Like many authors in the New Testament, Paul and Peter and others, they often encapsulate the entire gospel in a few verses. There's much packed into those verses that you need to unpack. And so for our invitation tonight, I'd like to read these few verses. Beginning in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's a mouthful. And there's a lot in those verses. And to remind ourselves of the gospel tonight and to present it to our visitors, I'd like to look again in verse 3. Because there are several phrases in the first few verses here that we read that outline the gospel. The first thing that Peter tells us is he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. As Christians, we have a hope. And why do we need a hope? Well, the Bible is very clear that at the end, there will be judgment. That God is holy and all of us are sinners and he cannot be with sin. He cannot. His justice requires. And the penalty for sin is death. And so we're all under the penalty of death and judgment. But we have hope. A living hope. Hope of freedom from the bondage of sin, of being with God for all eternity, of having a relationship with him. And he says, born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that we would be born of water and the Spirit. That there's a physical part of that, of being baptized in water. But it's not a bath. And Peter says that in his book as well. It is a spiritual renewal that God gives to us through his grace. In a simple phrase, born again to a living hope, there's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, how does any of that happen? It's because Jesus loved us. It's because God loved us from the beginning and made a plan that Jesus would come down in the flesh. And the only reason we're here tonight is because Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The spotless offering that took our place, and he went through it all, and was raised up in heaven again, and now covers our sins and intercedes for us. That's the only reason we're here. And Paul says in Corinthians, if what didn't happen, we might as well go home. And it's why we sang tonight. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. If you're a guest tonight, if you hadn't noticed, everything in the earth fades, atrophies, dies, gets corrupted. Men try to create utopias, but in history we know that a lot of those utopias turn into horrible nightmares for millions of people. And yet we keep searching for that perfect situation, the perfect house down the road from the Walmart and the grocery store, with the perfect family and the perfect children and the perfect pets and the perfect vacation and the perfect job. We're always searching for that perfect thing. Because we naturally long for what is perfect, and we know this earth is not it. And if you're old enough, you know that your search for that is in vain. And you try and try and try again. But Peter here promises that we have an inheritance that's imperishable, that's undefiled. It's everlasting. It doesn't get messed up. And Christians have something that lasts. That's why we're here. That's why we're singing to God. Because of the hope of the imperishable, undefiled, unfading inheritance that we are waiting for. And we are guarded through faith. Faith is a very misunderstood topic in our world. But faith, if you notice here, is the key that unlocks the door. It's what guards us. This is all happens through faith. I heard a prominent atheist the other day define faith as belief with no evidence, which is a common understanding of that idea, but it's completely disingenuous. First of all, that atheist and everyone else in the world, we all live by faith, simply for the fact that we don't have incomplete knowledge of any topic of anything in the world. And no matter what it is that you think you know, it's always incomplete. And so the best thing that you can do is draw a conclusion based on what you know, atheist or not. So faith is simply a conclusion. And if you're a guest with us tonight, there's a lot of evidence for the Bible that I don't have time to go through, but we would love to go through it with you. And the main thing, the main component that I'm convinced is the key to becoming a Christian is a love for the truth. Because you don't have to believe all this when you start. You don't have to believe in God when you start. You don't have to believe in the Bible when you start. But you do have to have a strong desire to know what is the truth. And if you want to know what is true, you can find it. And we would like to help you with that. Guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Christians are saved by the blood of Christ. We're saved now. But it's still a little bit veiled. In the world, you don't really know who's saved and who's not. But the Bible says that Jesus is coming back. And then those who are saved will be clearly revealed. They will meet him in the air. There will be no question about who is Jesus's and who is not. And we want to be part of that number. We want you to be part of that number of those who are ready for the salvation to be revealed at the last time. And you know, it can all seem a little silly. And Paul says in Corinthians, lots of people think it's stupid, it's foolish, the gospel. And sometimes I think all of this that's invisible and Jesus coming down and God coming down, it is a little bit crazy if you think about it from a human standpoint. But I go back to the evidence for the Bible, for God's existence, and I'm reminded again of why I have faith. That I do. It's there. But you have to look for it. And many people may not want to look for it and may cast it aside. But that's why we're here tonight. It's because we have found that truth through Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice, as he says, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, which is why we sang tonight. So if you're a guest with us tonight, please give us the opportunity, if you're looking, to help you find the gospel of Jesus Christ and to understand it. And if you're a Christian that's wavering in your faith, don't leave that alone. Find someone else here and go through the evidence again. Go through the reasons on which you can rest your faith. But don't let it go. Another day. We're going to sing a song. It won't be very long. It'll be up here on the screen. As a reminder that we have a limited time. Did something happen? I'm leading that song, so we're going to sing that together. And so if we can help you and you would like to come down to the front, please do while we stand and sing. Please stand.
It won't be very long till this shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall end. Steve?